Hey, Alexis.
Rachel, sorry, I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but that's like the oldest trick in the book. Texting a bunch of letters and saying your phone was unlocked in your purse.
Right? I used to text Zac Efron just like a question mark whenever I wanted a booty call. Poor thing would be like buzzing my apartment before I even pressed send.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series going in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
Good. Ready to have a barbecue.
Yes, definitely.
Balmy November day for a barbecue.
In our newly cleaned closet?
It doesn't
at least
look
your side.
That much better than it did before.
All right. I do have to say, we're on Instagram. People might not know that. But if you go to Schitt's Creek Pod, you'll find us.
Oh, that wasn't taken already?
No. Or it's Schitt's Creek Podcast. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you can tell we're very active on Instagram.
I am.
I'm trying to... even know what our Insta name is.
Our Insta name? Yeah. I am active. I'm trying to post something every day.
Wow. I must not have subscribed because I don't see it.
You do not follow.
I do not follow our page.
But I'm saying that because, and maybe you don't want to follow, I posted a picture of our recording studio.
What?
Uh-huh.
This hot mess express closet
right.
is on.
And someone said they thought it would be smaller, which I don't know if they're disappointed.
Our closet is basically like a room.
It is really
We've talked
big.
About that before. Yeah. It's kind of stupidly big.
Oh, it's
like
it's,
this could be living space, but it's a closet.
Right.
And it's a mess. I'm kind of embarrassed that this closet was on the interwebs.
And it didn't even look as nice as it does now. So if people are interested in seeing our recording studio...
That post might just be deleted shortly after this podcast is recorded.
Anyway, that's where we are. We're also on Facebook, and every now and then I remember that we're on Twitter. But we're here, as you sort of
live
teased,
and in person?
Live, yes.
Yes.
You're listening to this live, everybody. No, you're... you sort of...
If you're listening to it live, you're sitting outside our closet door. So I don't know that that's happening.
Right. But we are here to talk about the 7th episode of season 4, The Barbecue. The original air date was March 6th of 2018. This is directed by Sturla Gunnarsson. We got 3 more episodes of this guy this season. Mm-hmm. And it is written by David West Reed. Mm-hmm. And we know that he writes 3 episodes per season throughout the entire series. And this is his 2nd of season 4. So no new names there. And we basically just get 1 new character in this episode. So not a whole lot of new people to talk about, but a very
important
new,
person.
Yes, exactly.
Nonetheless. Right. Nevertheless?
I don't know. I think we could just say whatever we want.
Oh, is that how this works?
That's how it works. Then. We make up our own language and decide which words work best. So let's talk about the episode.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Right. So the episode opens. Can I just say that I really enjoy... And it's not 100% of the episode, but other than 2 of the smallest scenes, this whole thing is at the motel. And I feel like we don't do that a whole lot.
Yeah.
Someone always has to go somewhere, and especially now with David at the store. Mm-hmm. We've seen episodes where it's almost entirely in the store.
Yeah, true.
And then we're at Town Hall all the time. And
I think we're at Town Hall seldom. I don't feel like we're there a whole lot.
Sorry. I guess I'm just thinking of Town Hall and Jazzy Gale's rehearsal as the same space.
All right.
All right. But anyway, we're mostly at the motel here.
We are.
And we open with David's family surprising him.
Yeah. He's kind of checking himself out in the mirror before, I guess, he heads out for a day. And yes, they surprise him.
Right.
With a...
The ooh, what are you all doing here right. reaction is really nice. And they say that something has arrived for him, and he's not even sure that he wants it.
Yeah, he said, judging from their faces, I don't want it.
But he does kind of want it. Oh, also Stevie's there, which I think is absolutely wonderful.
Well, because I'm sure she got it, received it at the desk.
Right.
And then ran into all of them, like went to their room first.
Oh, I'm sure she and Johnny were both at the desk when this arrived.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's there basically to torture David for this.
Mm-hmm.
She and Alexis.
Yeah.
But Moira and Johnny seem genuinely, like, excited about what's happening here.
Yeah, I think so.
But it is because a giant cookie has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And...
a four-month cookie.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. Because David says something about celebrating... monthly, like, has this been happening? I mean, I'm not saying cookies are showing up.
Right, it doesn't sound like it's cookies on other occasions. But yeah, he does make reference later on about, you know, celebrating monthly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
One thing I love is when he gets this cookie and he says something like, why would Patrick do this? And Stevie mouths the word love and just has this big, goofy smile on her face. Uh-huh. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's cute.
But this whole thing is basically because, and I think Alexis brings up that this is the longest relationship, 4 months,
right,
that David has ever had.
Besides Tony, his penitentiary pen pal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's how this episode begins. And is this when this is
what is it, the cold opening, is that what you call
it? Sure, right? Yeah,
it's
before the
I feel like it's lengthy.
It is lengthy.
Yeah, it's a little longer than usual because then they break into having a barbecue discussion.
Right. Yes.
Why don't you invite him to the barbecue? Roland found a barbecue. Which is, I don't know. Like, we would say Roland found a grill.
Well, we're not Canadian.
I guess, right. Yeah. Right. So I'm assuming that that's how a Canadian would refer to a grill as a barbecue.
Yeah, I guess so.
We refer to the event as a barbecue, but the grill would be the method with which you cook for said barbecue.
I don't think the episode is named after the device that being used to cook on.
Right.
But
so it's interchangeable then, maybe.
Is this a thing you can do? Can you go to a motel and go to the front desk and be like, do you have a grill
I can use? We don't hang out in a lot of motels, as we've always said. But
no.
I wouldn't think they...
It seems dangerous.
Yeah,
that seems
I wouldn't
lawsuits.
Think they'd want to encourage grilling
but, you
on
know
their
what?
Grounds.
But they own the motel.
Oh,
so
totally.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, but Roland found a barbecue, so Johnny thought it would be a great idea to have a good old-fashioned barbecue.
Wow.
I guess.
Oh, man.
David said he does not want to share charred meat with this group of carnies.
Yes.
He refers to them as, and I like that Stevie says carnies are people, too.
Right. I find it kind of rude that David just doesn't invite Patrick right away. Like, that's the whole purpose of this barbecue.
No, it sounded like they were going to have it otherwise. Don't you think?
Oh, I thought it was like, look at this cookie that you're getting.
Oh,
let's
okay.
barbecue because of this.
I don't know. I guess the way he said Roland found it, I almost thought it was already sort of on Johnny's mind to do it. But then this was also like another reason. Like,
reason
let's invite
why.
Him. Okay. And not necessarily a reason, but it was an additional reason, I guess. But I don't, you could definitely be right that it was, you know.
Well, I thought it was
as
the whole
a result
purpose.
Of,
yeah, because later on when they're talking, I'm like, well, wait, why would he not invite? I mean, I understand why he wouldn't invite him and everything. And we'll get into it.
Right.
So now let's go. And I said we're only away from the motel two times. It is three times.
Yeah.
Because we go to Rose
Apothecary.
Mm-hmm. And There is some fun little cookie banter between the two of them here, mm-hmm. between Patrick and David.
Yeah, well, this is when David's like, I don't want monthly anniversary gifts. Like, I've already told you that. So clearly they must have had some gifts in the past.
Right. And it's just, he says something like, oh, I take it didn't go over well or something like that. Mm-hmm. I do like how David said that he ate half of this giant cookie on the ride over.
Yes. Yeah. The ride, the walk.
I thought it was the drive over.
Oh, I don't think he referred to a drive, but maybe he did. He ate half on the way there.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. But he said the cookie was literally too much. Right. But then he said, figuratively speaking. Yeah. Right.
Now, I find it great that we get, I love these little glimpses into, you know, David's life mm-hmm. before he came here. Mm-hmm. Could you ever see him dating a birthday clown?
No, I feel like birthday clowns would give him anxiety.
That's clowns would give crazy him anxiety. That he would date a birthday clown who painted his face and then disappeared.
And then was never seen again. Yeah. But before they get into that, I feel like they had a little conversation about, like, we're tempting fate and everything. And then Patrick said, like, you need to learn to trust people.
Sure.
Because that's super important, that exchange that they had.
Right, exactly.
You know, before, and that's when he shared about past relationships, why he doesn't trust people because of said birthday clown that painted his face.
Right.
They did that in another movie.
What?
In another movie, in that She's All That movie, they painted a girl's face to look like a birthday clown.
And then
she
disappeared?
Passed out. They didn't disappear.
Oh, wait, what? Really?
But they painted her face, so that she looked like a birthday clown.
Well, that's how much I know about
think of that.
She's All That.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
I'm sure it's great.
It's a great movie.
Well, you know what? If Julia Stiles isn't in it,
there's a Julia Stiles a-thon.
Where is this happening? Near them is there a Julia Stiles-a-thon?
Maybe it's just
unless
on
it's
TV.
Just at a friend's house or something.
Yeah, maybe it's just TBS is holding their Julia Stiles-a-thon.
Their annual, okay.
Right. You know, like when they do, you know, the Halloween, you know, stations do like those Countdown to Halloween or the 25 Days of Christmas.
Yeah,
and
you know,
stuff
all the
like
big
that.
Holidays.
Like
that
this
and
is like
Julia
Stiles'
birthday.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, I do
But
love
I do
it,
think they talked about that it didn't sound like it was on TV because they talked about going a different day.
No, right.
Yeah.
It sounds like it is an event held, I don't know, at a drive-in or something maybe.
A drive-in, maybe.
And they just show.
I don't know.
I don't know what she was in. Swim Fan? Was that her?
Wasn't she in 10 Things I Hate About You, which I think is probably her most popular
I get her
famous movie?
And
she
Erica
and Heath Ledger.
Christensen.
I don't even
confused.
Know who that is.
Okay, never mind. They are blonde actresses, roughly the same age, who made movies.
She was in Never Been Kissed, too, but not as
a she in the dance movie?
Yeah. So,
So you think you
that's
can
not what I was going to say, and that's
movie.
Not what it's called.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
She was in Never Been Kissed. She good was like thing. A nerd at the high school.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right.
Good we should have researched
all
her.
Styles
I know.
Podcast.
We would not
we
be
know
super knowledgeable
about her.
Save the Last Dance.
That's right.
That's what it's
so
called.
So you think you can save the last dance.
Yes.
All right. So now let's go back to the motel after this misunderstanding between the two of them.
Oh, well, right. Patrick and he does not invite him to the barbecue.
He doesn't mention it at all. But Patrick
needs
to go. Go ahead.
He just says he has something going on. He's like, I have something going on tonight with the family. He does not even share that it's, you know, barbecue or anything. He doesn't want to make any of that known. I also thought it was kind of funny. His sweater reminded me a little bit of fireworks.
Oh, I didn't even notice what he was wearing.
He had like these little, like.
Okay, little explosions, shoulder
sort of
explosions.
A little bit on the front. And it kind of reminded me of fireworks, which I thought was kind of funny because I would think like 4th of July barbecue.
Sure.
And, you know, that's all. I just noticed his sweater.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But Patrick has to go to town council, right?
Yeah, he talks about to get permits for something.
I'm going to say for the Julia Stiles Fest.
That's what I was. Right. I almost thought that's where it was going, but I don't think it.
It's like all these permits for this open mic thing. Now we want to put on the Julia Stiles Festival.
I don't know.
They're really doing what they can to bring in business.
But I think he did want to get something to do with permits.
Right.
I feel like he mentioned.
So that's where he's going. Mm-hmm. And let's go back to the motel, to the office, mm-hmm. because Alexis is kind of cozying up to Stevie.
Because no one else is around.
Because no one basically. Else is around. Exactly.
David's not there. Yep. She can't ask him. Because she has gotten a text message from Ted. Right.
She wants some opinions.
Yes.
From Stevie. What does this mean? Mm-hmm. If someone just texts you randomly, I'm more of a bagel guy.
Right.
I think she's thinking into this a little too much, mm-hmm. possibly. But Stevie, like, again, I really like the Stevie character, mm-hmm. but Alexis totally misreads this. I mean, if she really wanted someone's advice and she wanted someone who actually seemed maybe interested in this, I don't know that Twyla would be genuinely interested, but Twyla could at least pretend to be more interested than Stevie.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Twyla, I think, would be the better person, but I don't know. I feel like she really should not go to Twyla about relationship-based kind of stuff because she screwed Twyla over earlier
right.
on.
Right, yes, yes. So you're saying maybe this is how she's growing as a person.
I don't know.
Realizing maybe I shouldn't go to Twyla with my boy troubles.
Maybe. Right. Yeah, like I just feel like that's kind of like rubbing salt.
Oh, no, definitely. You know, but I just think she would be oblivious to that and has been in the past.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, she is wondering if this message is an accident or if it's just made to look like an accident.
Made to look like an accident. Yeah.
But as she arrives, we see that Stevie is checking in a new motel guest.
She's very busy.
So I referred to as the lobby girl, Rachel.
Sure.
Because she was just kind of sitting on the couch. I don't know what she was waiting for.
I thought she was filling something out.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. To fill out?
I don't know.
You're at a motel. You give them your driver's license to look at and a credit card.
Yeah, I would think. I don't know.
Maybe she's filling out the form to rent the grill later.
I don't know. Maybe. So, yeah. But,
she's way more helpful.
Oh, of course. Yeah. She chimes in and starts to kind of initiate a conversation.
Yep. Because she says she's done that before.
Mm-hmm.
She's done that before. Maybe, it's not even that. It's that her ex-boyfriend or her fiance, has done this with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been trying to get back together for like the 50th time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. This is also where
we get a little Zac Efron name drop,
too.
We
do. Yes.
Yes. Because she just would text him a question mark that she basically wanted a booty call.
Yes. And he would show up immediately.
Yes.
Right. So let's talk about Rachel. Rachel, who is credited as Rachel, not Lobby Girl Rachel.
Well, you know.
She's an actual name. Not a last name.
Okay.
Which is interesting. She's played by Stacey Farber,
mm-hmm.
who has been in.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff.
Degrassi. The Next Generation. Mm-hmm. Degrassi movie, which we have not heard. Degrassi Goes Hollywood.
Oh.
Sure, why not? She's been in episodes of Flashpoint, Rookie Blue, 19 episodes of Saving Hope, and a couple episodes of Grace and Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
All of this before she was even on Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, she has, I'm going to say, exploded.
Mm.
She's a regular on Digstown.
Mm-hmm.
She was a regular on season 3 of Virgin River.
Yeah, she was in Virgin River.
And a regular on the latest season of Superman and Lois.
Oh.
So she's really doing a lot of stuff here.
She is doing a lot.
And she's got a few things like in production as well. So, yeah. So now let's go outside.
Well,
I guess.
Hang on.
Go ahead.
I have more notes.
All right. I'm
not
sorry.
Done yet. Yeah. So Rachel gets put in room 9. I wrote that down.
Okay.
I don't know if that has any relevance, but that's the room Stevie assigns to her.
Right. Unless it's the room that Stevie I guess, still keeps David's clothes in, but never wears them ever.
Yeah. But then, you know, even after that, she and Alexis still kind of have a conversation. And she's like, you know, games are only going to get you so far. Mm-hmm. You need to be direct. You need to address this. Like, right. Don't, you know, just play games about it. And then Alexis tells her she's smart, pretty, and breezy in kind of a non-threatening way.
Non-threatening. Yes.
Yeah.
She's really got some great little interactions with Alexis. Mm-hmm. Even later on when Alexis mentions that Ted has a girlfriend, and she's like, you probably should have said that like earlier. You failed to mention that earlier, right. Or I would not have given you this terrible advice.
Yeah.
So now, should we go outside?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because that's what happened next.
Let's go. Well, I don't know. You're talking about room 9.
No, I'm done. I'm done. Right. I just had a couple more little notes there that I wanted to get in.
So, Roland, and we now see this grill that he has found.
It looks like one of those grills that would be like at a park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a little charcoal, yep. Like kind of
something
crummy.
That's been out in the weather for several years. Because yeah. When this thing's open, it just looks like rust inside. Mm-hmm. Like it's just all the grates and everything are sort of piled up in a weird way. Yeah. And it looks unusable.
Right. And Johnny is very critical.
Oh, very critical.
Right.
I love, it's so fun how proud Roland is of his grilling skills.
Oh, he talks about all of his aprons.
He got 3 aprons.
Yeah.
Which, that means, and here's my question to you, because I'm sure you know the answer to this. If you win a grilling competition, do you think you are awarded an apron afterwards? Or is he just bragging about the aprons that he has either bought himself or Jocelyn
I think he's
has
just,
given
yeah,
to him?
No, I think these are things that okay. he's bought or Jocelyn right. has given okay. to him. Did you it's write just, down all the names on the
grill?
Oh,
I did
too.
Of course I did, yeah. Licensed to grill, mm-hmm. working grill, and grills just want to have fun.
Yeah, yep.
So much
he's
fun.
A grill master.
He is a grill master.
Yeah.
Even, I love it when Jocelyn pulls up and is like, he's really good. Did you tell him about the aprons?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and Johnny's like, there's no side burner. There's no, you know,
yeah.
like he's talking about all the other things he's seen on grills. Because right. I'm pretty sure he's never used a grill.
No.
Ever.
No, there's no side burners. I mean, I'm assuming, and I don't even think I've ever used a charcoal grill.
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. All of ours have always been gas.
Right.
But yeah, like I don't think Johnny would know how to start a grill. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and Johnny's very upset because Roland can't be there. Wait, this doesn't happen now.
It doesn't
this
happen
later
yet.
On. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're moving at crazy speed or going very slow. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But yeah, Johnny's a little critical of it. And then. Roland said that he has to get a grill that says poor little rich grill right. a little or an apron. He has to get an apron. I said he has to get a grill. Poor little rich grill.
It's very cute.
Yeah,
and
it's
very
cute.
Fun. Mm-hmm. I really do like when these two are together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a little annoying if you feel like Roland goes over the top. And I know that a lot of people think that and are a little aggravated by him. But just thinking about like when he borrowed his truck, that back and forth between the two of them.
Yeah.
And just a couple episodes back when he was eating fried chicken with chocolate sauce and all that stuff on it. It's really nice. But now let's go to town council because David shows up.
And it was a fun little shot at the beginning showing him approaching town council.
Oh,
I feel like it was a camera angle that we've never seen
before.
Oh,
I didn't even notice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he came from, you know, the opposite direction and walked up the steps to go into town hall. And it was like a fun camera angle that we haven't
seen.
Yeah,
you don't really see that.
Normally we get a shot of town council kind of straight on or like from the front and you see Ray's bench and everything.
And that's pretty much it.
But yeah, but this was from like a different angle as he walked up and approached.
Wow, that's really nice. Yeah. I like it when they do that because I always wonder like when they're mapping out the season and everything like that, because most of this is, of course, shot, you know, in studios and everything like that, I just wonder if they go to this town on a single day and they're like, all right, exterior shot from season 7, blah, blah, or season 4, episode 7, we're going to shoot this here, we're going to do the whole thing, like...
Yeah, I bet they're there longer than a day. Yeah, I'm sure they're there for a short amount of time.
Huh.
I'm sure that's out there
somewhere. I didn't notice that scene, but that's really great.
Yep.
So, David shows up because Patrick never came back. Mm-hmm. Don't know who's watching the store right now. Those teenagers are in there looting them, basically. Mm-hmm. And Moira and Patrick are just hanging out.
Yep. They're just having fun. Chin wagging, I think Moira called it.
Sure, why not?
Right? Yeah.
With Pat.
Yes.
And she invited him to the barbecue because he's like, David, why didn't you tell me about this great barbecue that I was invited to?
Yeah.
And yeah, I did mention very quickly, Moira calls him Pat, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, if anyone is going to call someone by their extended longer name, proper name,
it's Moira.
It would be Moira. And I know it's just to sort of like joke about it later with Johnny. But I did think it was funny that she keeps calling him Pat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't want to make a big deal about anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrick decides he's going to head back.
Yes.
Because no one's watching the store, basically. He says what you said. And then Moira and David have a nice little conversation. You know, she said she's really excited. In the past, your relationships have just been one bungle after another, I think she said. And it's just been a series of bad relationships. But she said about Patrick, he sees you for all that you are.
Yeah, it is a really nice moment between the two of them. And again, like we kind of saw that at the beginning of the episode where they were very excited for this barbecue and for Patrick to come over and everything like that. And very excited for his relationship.
Yeah.
Because you could tell they were never involved before. They never they never knew anything that was happening.
Right. Yeah. Because Moira says, you know, this is your opportunity to kind of, her words are, climb out of the quicksand of the past. And, you know, we need to celebrate that. And Patrick wants to celebrate that. And he may be bringing his guitar and everything.
Yeah. That was his idea.
Right.
I guess he wanted a group sing-along. So David is not happy about this whole barbecue idea, about the, you know, Patrick getting closer to his family, I guess.
Yeah. But again, at the beginning of this conversation, I feel like it's back into that, like, little teasing mode of David. Like, now Moira and Patrick are kind of ganging up on him in the beginning. And, you know,
it must just be that easy to do.
I guess. Yeah. It just, it's so easy for everybody to just tease him and gang up on him.
So now, hey, how about we visit a place that we haven't seen in quite a while?
Yeah.
Let's go to the vet where we open with just, it's just Ted alone.
With a dog.
With a dog. And I just, it's such a Ted thing to be alone and to say, geez Louise. Like, just the idea that when you're by yourself, that's the thing you would say when you're, I don't know, surprised what's going on with this dog.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, but Alexis comes in, just pops in.
To say hey.
Yeah, and she's being real coy about this text thing at first. But he kind of, it doesn't take that long for Ted to be like, oh, whoops, I didn't mean for that to go to you. It meant, it was meant for Heather. And immediately, like, Alexis's whole, like, demeanor changes.
Right, yeah.
And it's,
yeah, it's, I thought the whole thing was awkward from the beginning, obviously. I thought from the very start when she popped in just to say hey.
Yeah.
The whole conversation's awkward, and then it gets painfully awkward.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's wonderfully uncomfortable. I think that they're both playing this so well in this scene. And just the fact that she's kind of like dancing around with her hands way more, way more than she even usually does. And she's stumbling over her words and she's referring to him as Mr. Bagel.
Yeah, it was good to see you, Mr.
And then
Bagel.
She's even like, oh, wait, no, that's you and Heather's thing.
But now it's a thing between the three of us.
It's the thing between the three. She calls Heather Heath at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of terrible. And I mean, I think it's good because, because we still need this. Like, we still need Ted to be around. I was happy that he wasn't in the last episode. Like I said, it was nice after the whole farm thing to just get away from him. But, you know, since we know what they're building to, I don't think we could get too far away from Ted. And also, like you said, it is awkward. Like, why wouldn't you just text back or something?
Like, I think, I don't know.
Because he even says something like, oh, I've been meaning to reach out because we've fallen out of touch, but even that seems odd and forced. And
right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know that I'd text back. I would just be like, I'm sure this wasn't meant for me, and move on with my life.
Yeah, but you could text something funny like, did you want me to get you bagels? And just, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
All right. Well, anyway. So now let's go back. This is when Jocelyn shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're wondering, Roland wonders what time they're going to fire up the, he Johnny's going to fire up the grill.
Yes.
And 8 o'clock. That is late for a barbecue. Barbecues start in the afternoon.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like getting dark around 8 o'clock.
No, you're right.
Yeah, because even Roland thinks it's weird. Where are we eating? In Barcelona, he says. But this is when Johnny finds out that Roland is not going to be there to help him. Because they have a birthing rehearsal.
A birthing rehearsal.
Right. Yeah.
Which, we only did that once, right? Like, I didn't block out going to those
classes. That's because we
did
it for a day. Normally, you could either, we did a all-in-one-day kind of session, but usually it's, like, over the course of weeks and multiple classes.
That's not what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, we did that with our first kid.
They haven't had a kid in, like, 20-some years.
All right, okay. That's a, you know what?
Like, almost 30
years, right?
You're right,
yes. Right? That is very
Mutt's
fair.
About 30.
Yeah, that's fair. I wasn't even thinking about that. Right.
I'm sure that's why they're going to birthing rehearsals.
Yeah. So, I really like the way that this scene ends and like kind of flows into the other one, just because Johnny's very upset that Roland won't be there to do this. And he clearly does not know how to do this himself. Yeah. And so we cut to basically Stevie is handling the grill.
Right. Well, Roland also said it's going to be like a explosion, you know, basically like, although he does like a sound effect for it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And then, we do see at the barbecue now, they're outside the motel. Mm-hmm. Stevie is, as you said, basically grilling with Johnny kind of looking over his shoulder, trying to supervise.
Trying to supervise and basically saying, this looks really good. Mm-hmm. You're doing really good.
Yeah.
That one looks like maybe you should turn it or something. Yeah. But then when she's done and walks away, because I can't imagine how sick she is. She has to work with him all day long, and now he has to stand over her shoulder while she's grilling.
Yeah. Well, Patrick kind of comes over and offers to help, so then that's her opportunity to kind of get away.
I mean, Johnny does kind of take over, but I think it's funny when Patrick shows up and he's like, they look really good. That one looks like it's ready to be flipped.
Or that one looks like it's about done.
Yeah, about done. Said, and Johnny's like, which one of those did you mean?
Yeah.
Just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, very good.
So Moira starts to, after she pours something from a flask into her cup, she and David kind of strike up a little conversation. She's asking about the shop, and he says it's thriving.
We've seen very little evidence of that.
Well, maybe after the open mic night.
I know.
I
don't want to beat up these characters for not having their store mobbed all the time, because we can't very well film a television show with people wandering around the whole time.
Right. And I love that he makes mention as they're chatting about struggling with group work in the past, working with people, which I thought was funny.
I like this line when Moira says, it's time to start a new chapter of the book on tape of
your life. Yeah.
I did think this was a little bit strange. And I feel like just because and maybe it's because I know what's coming, but it just feels like everything we're seeing now is filler. We're just waiting for Rachel to show up. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it seems so strange to just have this random conversation between Moira and David about the store.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like anything that they would just talk about on the show. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, what I mean is, if these were real characters, this is something they'd talk about off the show. Like, they would just, we would never see them having this discussion.
Yeah.
Or am I thinking about this too much?
I don't know. I think you're thinking about it too much.
Okay. All right.
I think it's showing them looking like regular people. Like, they're, you know, they're having a barbecue and making conversation.
Yeah, okay.
That's what you do at a barbecue.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I just think they're, it's like a regular person thing to do, that it's probably the first time they've ever done this.
Yeah.
You know, that they are hosting their own barbecue event that they have prepared all on their own.
And they're also hosting it for themselves, too.
Right, they're just having a cookout in their backyard,
Rather than, you know, I mean, other than Patrick being there, it is kind of just like, their family.
Yeah.
And Stevie. Co-workers. Yeah. Stevie.
Right.
So, but who's not there? Alexis isn't there.
It's, and she, they should not wait for her because Stevie's ready to eat that tablecloth.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And this is because she's having a conversation with Rachel by the soda machine, yes. It looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where she talks about, oh, it was just a mistake. He's dating someone else.
And, right. And Alexis is like, I'm always the one being chased
right.
and everything.
Yes. Yeah. Rachel's response to this is really fun when she says, I assume that due to your face and body.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it's very nice of Alexis. You know, she's kind of making a new friend that she invites her to the barbecue.
Well, right. Yeah. Because Rachel's basically like, I came here to win someone back and it didn't happen.
Right. Yeah. She's going to go be sad alone in her little motel room.
Room nine. Yes.
Can't wait to see how much more room nine talk there is in this series.
None. Okay. Probably.
And this is Alexis calls it daties.
Yeah, they can be each other's daties.
Daties.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I guess they're approaching, walking around to the side of the motel, the side where David does yoga and laundry every now and then, Patrick mentions that it's so interesting and coincidental that he'd be sitting here with the roses because his first job
was
ever.
Rose video.
Uh-huh. And Johnny
store
knows the branch number.
Or branch, yes.
Yeah.
785 that had impressive late fees,
which is really great. And so now Johnny's very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is this guy dating his son, but he knows about his business and probably respects him as a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides to make a toast.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when everything
goes
wrong. Because, surprise, surprise, Rachel knows Patrick.
Yeah.
What? Isn't that weird?
Strange that she's his ex-fiance.
Yep. She's been texting him for a very long time.
Yep.
And he's not responding.
Yes.
Ex-fiance, they were engaged. And David cannot handle this, of course, makes sense, and he wanders off, basically goes back to his room.
Yep.
Everyone is shocked by this news.
Except for Johnny, who kind of wasn't paying attention.
No.
Because
right,
he's like,
no,
who is she? I just glanced at my plate for 2 seconds. What's going on?
I felt the same way. I glanced at my notes for 2 seconds.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So now we cut to commercial, dramatic cut to commercial in this series.
Yes.
And Patrick goes off to talk to David.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentions that, like, it's his old high school girlfriend.
Which.
And that, yeah, can we talk about this?
Because I got to figure out what's happening here. There's been a connection then for a really long time. Like, if this is a high school girlfriend, and we're estimating that these characters are close to 30.
Yeah.
Like. You've been connected to this person since you were 18? High school?
And
maybe
I mean,
even younger?
Even younger. I was thinking like 16 till now.
What are,
and it's like an on again, off again.
I don't. It kind of seems that way.
I don't know. I mean, it's never brought up like, oh, Rachel's delusional and, you know. After high school, he wanted nothing to do with her, and she's a weird stalker or anything like that. It's not like that's what he's saying. So this has been something that's been going on for a very long time.
Yeah, but Patrick said he broke off the engagement.
Mm-hmm.
They've been going back and forth for a few months.
Yes.
Which makes it sound like this engagement was somewhat freshly broken
off. Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was even going to say I can understand it from both of their points of view. Like, I think I can. I don't know. What are your feelings on this?
Who's at fault here? Because, well...
And I mean, it might not be as easy as just saying it's this person's
fault. I don't
fault,
know. Like,
person.
In 4 months worth of time, because that's how long they've been together...
Right.
Like, how deep into conversation are you about past relationships? I don't
know. Sure, yes.
I mean, they certainly seem to be, like, obviously they're at work together all the time, so they're spending a pretty considerable amount of time together.
Agreed.
is this relationship moving slowly in that 4 months?
Right.
I guess we don't really know. So, but I don't know, just in the fact that, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe Patrick wasn't real comfortable
right.
expressing that, you know, he had recently been in a relationship with a woman and had just
right.
recently broken that off. But you would also think that that would be something that he would bring up.
Yeah.
In light of the fact that this was a new type of relationship for him. Like,
yes.
pretty different.
Yeah, especially if it... And that's what makes me feel like Patrick's sort of totally to blame here. Because you would figure if it's all over and done and this relationship has ended and the engagement is over, mm-hmm. you would figure he would bring that up.
But maybe in his eyes it is over, mm. in her eyes it's not.
Yeah.
You know,
but even if it,
but if they've been going back and forth for a few months,
right.
which a few months is 3 or 4,
right.
a few, so then that means that they have been corresponding about this in during the time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I mean,
yeah.
if he's singing a song to him at Rose Apothecary's open mic night, then he obviously is feeling like this is becoming a more serious relationship between he and David.
Of course,
so
yeah,
maybe he just hadn't ventured into bringing this up yet. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Because you figure he would. All of these fun
yeah.
David stories, a clown paints his face and everything. Like,
well,
you know.
And too,
I'm not saying that's a time to be like, oh, also you want to hear something weird. I was engaged
well,
once.
Right. But that was a little bit of a open door
sure.
to get into a conversation
yeah.
about past relationships, which didn't happen.
Exactly.
You know, like
yes.
he could have brought things up about, you know, like, yeah, my pat, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like most of the time people would say something like, I'm just coming off of a serious relationship.
Sure. Yes.
And clearly that's not something that he had mentioned.
No, not
so,
at all.
So, yeah, I do feel like,
yeah.
I don't know that he was deliberately trying to hide it,
mm-hmm.
but maybe just was still trying to like feel
right.
things out
yes.
before he brought it up.
Yeah, and it's tough to sort of just imagine what has been happening for the past few months, because
mm-hmm.
all we get is, you know, Rachel saying they were
right.
engaged. Like, that's it.
Right,
and
yeah.
And Rachel
we really
saying
don't
that she's been texting.
Quite as much.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
I mean, we get a little bit from Patrick in this conversation right now.
Yeah.
You know, David. And I love that David is advocating for himself. And saying, like, in a way, like, saying, you told me to trust people. And now you're, like, I like that he didn't just
yeah.
forgive him and say, like, okay, you know, like,
I like that he
kind of was trying to stand strong and say, like,
yeah,
you know, I need time to deal with this. Like, he literally said that. He said, I am damaged goods and I need time to deal with this. I like that he didn't just forgive him.
No, but I don't like the fact that he just said, I'm damaged goods and I need time. Like, he's putting this on himself
yeah.
somewhat.
Okay.
You know, which I think is, it's a very David thing to do.
Right.
But it's kind of crappy that he can't just be like, this is on you. Like, this has nothing to do with me.
But I think he's saying, like, I need time to think this through,
right.
whether this is a
yes.
deal breaker, you know,
no,
like
no,
the
no.
fact that you were deceptive or
right.
he's feeling like he was deceptive about
exactly.
that.
Yes.
So I do feel like maybe that's a little bit of advocating that he's like, I'm not going to stand here right now and forgive you.
No, I think so, too. Yeah, definitely. Yes.
You
he
know.
Is hungry, though, because we yes. have to end the scene. And it's a really great, I will say it's a really great scene by the two of them.
Oh, well, and
Patrick
also, though,
is really good
but,
in this scene.
But Patrick does admit to him, too, like, his relationship with Rachel never felt right. That's a really
right.
long time
yeah.
to not feel right about a relationship,
yeah.
though. I mean, and maybe initially in high school. And
sure.
But I mean, maybe
yes.
initially it did. And maybe this is why this relationship that has been
yeah.
stringing along since high school, because he never felt ready or comfortable or like it was right to commit.
Yeah.
And then probably he moved.
He moved to Schitt's Creek
right.
to get
so
away
he left,
from her, maybe?
Right, I would assume. So he left.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, until recently, I didn't know why. And
okay.
his recently was, he met David and realized, like, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, want to begin a relationship with this man. Yeah. And this is why that is feeling more right than this high school relationship that I've been trying to falsely make work for years. So, I mean, I guess that, you know, I guess that makes sense as to why that it didn't have, why that was so long, you know.
I guess. I don't know. I do feel like we have thoroughly discussed this aspect of the show, though.
What do you mean?
We've really gotten into it. We don't normally, you know, dig this deep into most topics.
Yeah, but wrong. I think this is a big deal. This is certainly a huge, you know, part of this series and this whole relationship. Like, they have to figure out how they're resolving this if they're going to, you know, move forward. And
definitely,
you know, the Downton Christmas special might get David through. I'm not sure.
Right. If that's what he's watching at the end, which we decide it's not.
No. Yeah. But I do. And actually, I do really see your point about him saying, like, I'm damaged goods. But I don't know that he's shouldering the brunt of but I think he's just more saying, like, are you worth this?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
This is how you're treating me. Like, I kind of like that he's finally looking at him and being like, you're not treating me well
right,
here.
Right. Yes.
And I'm not necessarily going to take it.
Right. No.
I don't know.
I agree. I agree. Yeah. Definitely.
No, I'm not. So, I'm just saying.
No, that's okay.
But he's hungry for sliders. More than one, actually.
Just to bring him some sliders.
And potato salad.
Potato salad.
Other sides. Just and a smattering of everything.
He didn't get a chance to see everything that's out there, but he knows that there's other things that he needs as well.
Yeah. I wonder who made all the other stuff. We just know that Johnny had $100 worth of sliders.
Yeah.
I wonder where everything else came from.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Use some... Stevie. I'm going to say Stevie brought everything. So that is how this big scene ends.
Right.
Basically with Patrick leaving David
basically
alone.
Basically like, go get me some food.
Yes. It is kind of funny. I laughed out loud at that moment when he asked him for all the food.
Oh, it's super
so
fun.
Now let's go to the ending because kind of all of, and I don't want to jump into the next episode because I didn't even know how this one ended. So how am I jumping into the next episode? Mm-hmm. But like all the Patrick and Rachel stuff, I guess, is kind of happening off camera. Like,
or they're
like,
just it's trying to resolve it. The barbecue has ended.
Oh, the barbecue is long since ended.
It's the evening.
Right. Everybody, David's... his family, his mother, father, and Alexis are in the parents' room.
Right.
Because he's in his room watching something on TV that we could not identify. We went on, I went online and I looked. People were speculating that it was the Downton Christmas special. You had us go back and listen to the characters. And
yeah,
they mentioned,
we actually listened.
Who did they mention?
Tommy? It says, talk to Tommy. He's very, very upset. Right. There's no Tommy in Downton Abbey because we watched that whole series.
Not
at least
all.
Not that we can remember.
Yeah. People online said that it's Sunrise Bay, which that would just be weird. Right?
We even like looked David's, up Sun. We but did they've look watched up cast. It. We even looked up Sunrise Bay to see, and there wasn't a Tommy mentioned in that cast.
They've watched it, but every time anybody's watching it, it is played as a total goof, or discussing it. I don't think it's what's going to get him through.
Right.
And then the other two things were. Some people said it was an old SCTV sketch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't see any evidence of that. I even typed in Tommy after that and nothing really came up.
Yeah.
Or people said it was something that was just filmed specifically
for
the show.
And they did talk about somebody, a character being very upset.
Right.
And then they talked about, they made mention of like, I know things are going wrong. So like the text related back to somebody being upset and things going wrong. So
it's
that's
just
why
a shame that it isn't, because you could find 1,000 movies out there where what they're talking about would line up. And it's such a shame because they used Aaron Brockovich.
Well, right. And that's why we said we felt like when they had Aaron Brockovich on like IMDb, they credited.
Yeah, they credited
Aaron Brockovich. Like
Aaron Brockovich, you know, famous actress.
Well,
Aaron
Brockovich. Like the movie,
no,
they credited.
Did.
Yeah, the actors.
They had
and
to give Julia Roberts credit in Schitt's Creek,
which
it's
is
awesome.
Why there's nothing credited in this on IMDb. So that's why we were debating. Well, was it so short of a clip that they don't have to credit, or is it literally just something that they created? So we don't know. Share your thoughts. thoughts.
I'd like to think that it's a student film that Sturla Gunnarsson made in school. It was just like, here, you can just use this for the end.
Yeah. But I like, and I'm assuming that as David's sitting there watching TV, he's eating the cookie, right?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Well, I didn't know if you still had potato salad and a smattering of everything from the picnic, but I from what I could see, obviously, it looked like he was, you know, eating the cookie and everything. And
the line of Alexis wanting to get in there, I think, is great. When she's like, what is he doing? And how Johnny goes, he had 6 sliders. I assume he'll be asleep soon.
He'll asleep soon. Yeah. Alexis needed her phone.
Right.
Moira was like, I finally thought he was out of the quicksand. Yeah. And he's not. Like, she's feeling very distressed about this.
This seems a little overly dramatic. I don't like this. She is Moira, devastated by this.
You know what, though?
And I'm not saying...
I think that it's showing her as being a parent, which it's nice when you see those moments when Moira is like a parent and she's
I know and like, I don't want to criticize it. It feels more like a season 6 thing than a season 4
okay.
Yes, but at least Alexis is still there to kind of like play this for laughs at the end as she kind of like knocks on the door and makes her way in to at least get her phone.
Well, and we also see her phone.
Right.
That she has, you know, received a text message. Uh-huh. And the text message is from Ted.
Yep.
And, of course, it says something about, like, it was nice to see you today.
What a crazy, like, cliffhanger to leave an episode of this show on. That doesn't happen.
David was driving away from the town in episode 1.
Oh, was that episode?
Or like the last episode of season 1. No, I'm sorry, right. Not episode 1.
No,
last episode.
Okay.
That was a cliffhanger
of
season 1.
You can cliffhang a season.
But you don't
but
think they should.
But in this, everything, episode to episode, I feel like it always
sort of
gets kind of wrapped up.
Yeah.
But I love it because it's like we're halfway through this and now we're just sort of teasing out like, well, this is what the rest of the season is going to be about. Yeah. We have to figure this Patrick David thing out. We have to figure out Ted and Alexis. Okay. And it's just a really nice tease to that where, you know, the show doesn't normally end that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it. That's how the episode wraps up.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
So at the end of every episode that we discuss, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from our favorite episode to our least favorite episode. So if Carla... if this episode were a plate of sliders, how many would there be? 1 or 6?
I don't really like sliders, so...
All right. You what, know. Potato salad?
It's not much better.
How many clumps of potato salad would there be?
Scoopins, perhaps.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
How many giant cookies
would be piled on... I can get on board with
okay.
giant cookies.
All right.
Yeah, that speaks more to me than sliders and stuff. I'm going to put it as my new number 12.
New number 12?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. The way you started talking, I thought it was going to be lower.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
just
I
the
like
way
it.
You were like, yeah, I like it. And you're right in line with me. This is my new number 11.
Oh, how about
because I really like this episode.
Yeah.
I think it's very good. Like I said, there's a lot happening in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's forwarding a lot of different characters and story arcs and everything. But also, there's a lot of funny stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally into that.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Definitely.
Excellent. Next time, 2 weeks from now, I don't know what's happening with these story arcs and how they relate to it. Because all I see is the title.
The Jazza Guy.
And it is. It is going to be the 8th episode of season 4, The Jazza Guy. So until then, everybody, thank you for listening. Again, rate, review the show. Tell people about the show.
Find us on tweeters.
As I said earlier, we're on Instagram. We're over on Facebook. You can find us
if you really
search for Schitt's and Giggles. Yes. But until 2 weeks... have a great 2 weeks, everybody.
Warmest regards.
Until 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's terrible.